Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
We're out here with Melanie and Kevin Cunningham from Shake Fork Farm, a community-supported agriculture farm that is in Carlotta. And you guys are known for growing grains. Now you're into a new venture, and that is raising chickens for meat. How did you decide to make that leap?
We really feel that we need to diversify our farm. Grains are a little bit marginal in this climate, and we've done well, but we just feel like a successful farm requires different aspects.
And recently, you've become part of the Humboldt Poultry Cooperative. How many chickens do you have on the farm right now?
We have well over 300 chickens at varying stages of maturity currently.
So you just harvested a couple days ago. You harvested some of the chickens, and then you have some what I call the juveniles.
Yeah, we have an infant size that just went out onto pasture today to make space in the brooder for another 120 will be arriving tomorrow evening. We'll be called back into the post office in Eureka to pick them up.
And what type of chickens do you raise?
They're called red broilers. We use a hatchery that raises, they're called Freedom Rangers. They have a lot of genetics from the line that's famed in France, Poulet Rouge line. They're just known for being really strong on pasture. They can get a lot of their feed from natural sources, from grass and bugs, about 30%. And they're super hardy. We have very minimal losses compared to the commercial varieties, the Cornish cross that's bred to convert feed extremely efficiently. They do fine in commercial settings because they don't need to roam around. They're not very active.
And these are more active birds, the birds that you have.
And what's nice about the red broilers is that they range and get pasture, but then they also get big, too. They are a substantial meat bird. They're still a meat bird as opposed to a laying style of chicken. So,
but a slow-growing meat bird.
A slow-growing meat bird, but they get plump, and the meat is very flavorful on these, and it's bred to be a tasty chicken. It definitely has a lot of the characteristics of a heritage breed because the breeding stock of these birds are some of those older, you know, breeds and styles of chicken that we no longer use because we have such an industrial poultry farming paradigm. But the breeding stock came from France, and it's more of a modern breeding stock. Best of both elements. Mm-hmm. You have the strong on pasture, you know, hardiness, along with the ability to get large in a decent amount of time and to have the body mass and the flavor of modern chickens.
I know that they're out there in the pasture and you have basically what I've heard of called a chicken tractor and move them from place to place on the pasture land that you have here at the farm. But do you supplement their feed with other feed?
Yeah, they're given pretty much free feed. It's a domestically sourced all organic feed. It's a mix of grains and soy protein. They get to eat as much of that as they want, but you still see them in the morning when we move the tractors. About 7 o'clock every morning, go out there, put them on fresh grass, and the birds get so excited. They're just chirping and walking around. And the first day, like those new ones that we have out there, they won't get it tomorrow. They'll be a little confused. But by the second day, they know what's happening, and they kind of run towards the front. And
they all want to be first on the new pasture.
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of exciting.
So you're part of the Humboldt Poultry Cooperative, along with Sarah and Matt Bruner from Wild Chick, and David McCush and Ash Wells from Buck and Daisy Rabbit Tree. And this allows you to share the expenses of the mobile poultry processing. What does that entail itself?
Yeah, well, our commercial unit it's a trailer that contains all the equipment necessary inside it. So it comes basically ready to use, easy to clean, just makes the process more efficient.
And it kind of looks to me, if you didn't know what it was, you might think there was a horse in it. Uh-huh. It looks like a little horse trailer.
Yeah, well, it's totally custom designed.
Uh-huh.
So it was empty, and then over a pretty long process of a few years, Sarah Bruner started the process, and then all of us have participated in it towards the end. We've added all the different components that are required for poultry processing. So there's an industrial scalder, there's a plucker, there's workstations with water and stainless steel tables that make it really easy to quickly and cleanly eviscerate, and hot water for hand washing, which is a really nice thing to do just for sanitary purposes. And there's a chill tank, so the bird has to be chilled very quickly to be safe. So there's a custom designed chill tank in there that brings the birds down below 40 degrees really quickly.
One of the things that I think some people who might have considered raising chickens for meat might be a little bit squeamish about is knowing how the animals are killed. How do you go about doing that? Is that your job, Kevin?
It is. Yeah, we try to give our birds a very healthy and humane life, and also in the processing of the birds also have a humane death. And the way we do it is it's a method that is considered the kosher method. We're not necessarily kosher certified, but we have killing cones. It's a stainless steel cone, and they go in head first, and the birds are then quickly bled out by cutting aortic arteries, and it drains the majority of their blood within the first few moments. And at that point, you know, their process of dying is rather quick. And the bleeding out of the birds lends itself to a better meat because it drains all of the blood from the actual body cavity. So you don't get blood clots and other things that you would normally see in a commercially raised bird. And there's no way to get around the fact that you're taking the life, so it is going to be painful for that bird, but because it happens so quickly and because they lose a vast majority of their body fluids rapidly, it ensues in the most humane manner.
One of the things that seems like it's come up when I'm talking to other people is that one of the reasons they got into raising animals for meat is that they wanted to know how the animal was raised. And is that one of the things that you thought of when you eat meat? Mm-hmm. You want to know how the animal was raised and how the animal was killed.
Yes. Well, I was a vegetarian for 17 years, and actually this process of returning to meat is just in the last 5 years. And it was actually slaughtering with Wild Chick Farm. My first meat in my adult life was a chicken after a day of chicken slaughtering. It was a hunger for that connection. I mean, I never was against meat specifically, but just the way meat is raised commercially, the lack of respect for life and just all the inhumane treatment. So having the connection, being able to participate in it, to feel it for what it is, has totally changed how I feel about eating meat. I still think it should be eaten with reverence and minimally, not to excess, mm-hmm. but we get a lot of volunteers on our slaughter days, people with similar feelings, people who want to learn the process, who want to get involved, who want to experience it for themselves, and they feel like if they're going to eat meat, they should be able to do it. And what's really cool, at the end of a slaughter day, we'll have maybe like 2/3 of a 5-gallon bucket full of offal and guts that we can't use. Everything else gets used. The blood gets used, all parts of the chicken, the neck, the heads. I mean, whether it's for human food, dog food. And the rest gets all composted. I mean, All the feathers get composted, all the guts get composted. Nothing really gets wasted.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of why we started doing chickens in the first place. You know, we've been growing the grains, but at the same time, recognizing that a lot of the fertility that we use in our crops is a composted organic chicken manure shift up from Petaluma area. In order to kind of close the loop as far as fertility on the farm, we wanted to bring in the chickens so that we're utilizing the manure when they're on pasture, and then we're also using those parts that we can't use in compost that's going to be able to feed the soil that we're growing crops on in the future.
Well, this has been an interesting look into how you're raising chickens out here at Shake Fork Farm. Thanks a lot, Kevin and Melanie.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.